96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
I think our job is and has always been to be two things. I always carry a pen. I have one of these that I don't use very much because I don't know how to. But I do know how to write with a pen. I also carry a knife. But the knife is not to cut anybody and put any kind of blood on it. But rather, I use the knife to peel back onions. And I use this pen as a mirror, which is what I think my job has been for the longest time and continues to be. And my job has been to hold up a mirror to those who have power and those who have privilege for them to see what they have wrought and what it is that they are doing in such a way that they may be able to deny it, but they can't deny it with any truth as their basis.
That was NBC4 News anchor Jim Vance on MLK Day this year, participating in a WHUR event, Race and Media Beyond the Microphones. The man known as the Dean of DC News Anchors lost his battle against cancer on Saturday morning after nearly 50 years of reporting news in the DC Metro. Well, tonight at the Reporters Roundtable, we're talking about Jim and also some of the other top stories of the week. My guests Armalette Green, WHUR news reporter, also a reporter for NBC4, Hamil Harris, a reporter with the Afro-American newspaper, and Simone Pathay. She is a political reporter for The Roll Call. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can follow me on Twitter at HFisherWHUR or Daily Drum WHUR. Thank you all for joining me. I appreciate it. I want to start with Millett because, you know, Millett, our careers have kind of, you know, paralleled. You know,
yeah.
both of us did the radio thing, of course, but we also, you know, did the TV thing, and you're back at it as well. Talk to me about your memories of Jim.
Oh my goodness. Being in a newsroom with Jim Vance, the most awesome experience of my 20-plus years in this business. He really was larger than life. He was a mentor in the newsroom. And I didn't work with him very often because I usually work the morning show, Jim Vance, of course, the evening anchor at NBC4. But our paths did cross, and I got to work with him on several occasions. You know, he was your friend. He was your mentor. He never made you feel less than. I had only been at the station a few months when I first worked with him moderating a forum at NBC4, and he made me feel like I was home, mm-hmm. and I was equal to his larger-than-life presence and his value at the station. I mean, it's been an extremely difficult past 4 days, learning of his passing on Saturday, and of course the tributes just continue to pour in. But it's been a wonderful opportunity to reflect on his life and his legacy and his impact on news and on Washington and beyond.
Hamil, talk to me about that, his impact on D.C.
I mean, he set such an example, and the question everybody says, was he a black reporter or a reporter happened to be black? No, he was Jim Vance. You know, he was what he was, an African-American, but at the same time, he set the standard so high. You didn't see race with him. You saw a journalist who was sharp, who was focused, and he almost, it's like he didn't take himself, he was serious, but there was no news event that overwhelmed him. It was almost like, okay, now we have this, like with the Marion Barry. I always think about when Barry was arrested and being a journalist and being on a lot of those shows. A lot of times, like, what's Vance going to say? He would just go straight to it.
Mm-hmm. He would, Hamil. You're so right. He faced his fears. I mean, he said on many occasions he was terrified every day of going on the air, seeing that on-air light come on, or being in the field And that is what drove him to be such a great writer, storyteller, and communicator, because he didn't take the business so seriously, but he didn't take it lightly either. He
right.
knew he had a purpose. And he wasn't afraid to face racism head on in the newsroom over the years and out in the community as well. We have to underscore that point about Jim Vance being such a leader and a pioneer.
Simone, you're a newcomer relatively, you know, to the D.C. area, and yet you also, you know, you saw Jim on TV. Your thoughts about, you know, the legacy that he leaves behind?
Yeah, so I've been in Washington as a reporter for about 5 years, and actually only met Jim recently this past year. I was honored to speak with him at that MLK Day panel from which you played the clip earlier. And what has stuck out to me, I think, really just reading more about him in the days since he has passed away, is what a figure he was in this community and what that means for a journalist, especially today, to have such an integral role in the city that you cover. I mean, especially seeing when journalists are under attack constantly today, the idea of having a respected figure who is literally in your living room every night, that you have a relationship with, you don't always necessarily share opinions with, but it's someone who you respect and can look up to as a leader, I think is really important, not only for the city and for the country, but for aspiring journalists to see, too.
And to that point, and I think, Millette, you can relate to this, you know, because, you know, my interaction with Jim, you know, was, first of all, as a kid when we would see him on TV, because
right.
we're both, you know, native Washingtonians. But my first connection to Jim was as fraternity brother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a Kappa, you know, member of Kappa Alpha Psi. But when I was a runner for NBC back in 1989 during the inauguration of George Herbert Walker Bush, you know, Daddy Bush, you know, after the inauguration, I still had that press pass, that access to the offices, the newsroom on Nebraska Avenue, and I'd been bitten by the TV bug. And I said, I got to do this. I got to get into this business, because I was going to go back to temping. And so I used the pass. I went back to the studio, and I just sat in the studio for 3 hours waiting to talk to Jim. And I watched the entire newscast, and then afterwards I pulled him up. And he said, you know, usually I don't talk to just random people sitting in the studio, but he said, you've been here for 3 hours. And, you know, I introduced myself, you know, gave him the frat grip. And I said, I got to get into TV. And he said to me, you know, man, you're going to have to get yourself a tape. And I said, how do I do that? He said, you've got to find a way. He said, do a stand up in front of your front yard, do that tape, do it yourself, and send it to every TV station. And that's how I got my first job.
It's so amazing that my story is similar. He was so cool. He just looked like a Kappa. But I remember when they had the sniper, and I was doing a lot of work for MSNBC. And you know, I didn't come into the business as a broadcaster. But when I would see him, and I was running and all excited, he had this little snicker, like, you know, you got it. I see what you're doing. And he kept up with me. And it meant so much to sit there in Nebraska Avenue, that green towel, and to talk to Lester Holt, you know, New York and Van. It's like you felt big. You felt bigger. It's like he made you feel like, hey, this is special.
Yeah. 202.
Can I say something, Harold?
Yeah, sure. Real quick. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are at the Reporters Roundtable talking about the top stories of the week, including the passing of news icon Jim Vance. Go right ahead, Mole.
The breaking news, Barbara Harrison just reported a short while ago that the Smithsonian Museum of African American History and Culture is going to honor Jim Vance. He will have a place in that museum. The director, Lonnie Bunch, is making room for Vance's contributions to the world of journalism.
And well it should. I think that is really, really appropriate. It's, from what I understand, his last interview was with
absolutely
Lonnie Bunch. Let me go to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Ty, calling from Waldorf. Thanks for calling, Ty. What's on your mind?
First, I want to say hello to everyone on the panel. This is such a sad occasion, but as, you know, Mr. Vance wanted us to celebrate his life, actually had the pleasure and honor of meeting Mr. Vance twice, and he was just a brother, man, that just you can't explain the excellent qualities about him and the way he carried himself. Just, you know, he was truly an icon and would truly be missed. I mean, just, you know, look at the definition of what a true man is. His picture in the dictionary. It's just, you know, can't believe it. And the DMV is going to truly be hurting for a while behind us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Ty, thank you so much for your comments. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You know, Millette, and I think you can also really relate to this, again, because, you know, of our TV travels.
Yeah.
He was very, very unique. He didn't have the voice of God news delivery as so many of us in the business aspire to. And it wasn't really anchoring. He was just talking, and his commentary was always biting, always interesting, to the point.
Legendary commentary,
yeah.
That made a lot of people mad because they were very raw and biting, as you said. Yeah, he was uncomfortable for a very long time with his style, his abilities, and trying to find his way, find his voice, if you will, in broadcast journalism. And then he talked about speaking with David Brinkley and getting a little bit of guidance from one of the best in the business. I mean, but look how being comfortable with yourself and making your own way through this career and any other, for that matter, look at where it can get you. I mean, this is pretty incredible. Just moments ago, before 7 o'clock, we had the Nationals honoring Jim with a moment of silence. I mean, just incredible achievement for a black man in the news business, a pioneer for all of us, men and women, black and white, but a man who has been able to do unprecedented things in this town.
It's funny, Millette, you bring up David Brinkley, because they did both have that style. It's like, they were focused and serious, but they still had a little bit. They pulled back. And one thing I always enjoyed, I like to hear how he opened the newscast with the lead story and how he closed. And then his reaction, because, it's, you know, Pat Collins, it's like, it's almost like Pat was trying to get a response from Vance. And Vance was like, well, okay, Pat. It's like, words, I'm not going to go there.
Or the camaraderie that we saw with
George Michael.
George Michael. I was about to say that.
Redskins.
Yeah. You just, you know, one could argue that some of DC's, you know, first greats are no longer with us. You know, the George Michaels, the, you know, now Jim Vance, and, you know, some of the other guys and women, you know, from the other stations. This is a transition. I think this is a watershed moment for DC News. Let me grab one more phone call real quick before I take a break. Let me talk to Renee. Renee calling from DC. Thanks for calling, Renee. What's on your mind?
Hi. I remember when I was I'm 60 years old now.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in high school, they carried us to radio stations and police stations and to get an idea of what you probably wanted to do in life or to become.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in there, and I met Jim Vance when he was coming down the hall. But we were going in, so he was going to have a talk with us high school students. And so he noticed that I had these bright red shoes on. And he said, what do you want to be? I said, I want to be a journalist. He said, are you just saying that? I said, no. I said, but I'm afraid to talk in front of people. He said, well, what do you do? I say, well, you know, I sing in my church, and I do this, and I'm naming all these things that I do around in my community. He said, you know what? You're going to be a better journalist than I am. He said, you don't have to be a journalist and to be on the TV. You can be a journalist in your community. And that resonated with me to this day. And I tell it to all young people of how you can be a journalist in your community. Well, thank you for telling your story.
Well, Renee, thank you so much. We really appreciate your comments. We're going to continue with the Reporters Roundtable. We're going to be talking about Jim Vance. We also have some political issues that we're going to be addressing also. Big changes at the White House. A lot of stuff going on Capitol Hill. Lots to get to. Millette, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
And we'll talk again real soon.
Hey, Millette.
And listen, you know, this song, MFSB, Mother, Father, Sister, Brother, that was the tune that Jim Vance picked to end the newscast at News 4 every day. And they're continuing with it. Sound of Philadelphia. He was from Philadelphia.
Like family.
Great song, great music. We're going to miss Jim Vance. We're going to continue this conversation in just a bit. Eric from Calvert County, BB calling from D.C. We're going to talk to you. Please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation in just a bit.